So, so it kind of looks like Minecraft fucked over a transformer.
It reminds me more of a retarded woman getting fucked by a horse while falling down a flight of stairs.
You really have to talk about my fetish right here on the podcast. Great, now I've got an erection.
Superhero Time presents that one episode of Star Trek. With Chris.
No!
Hey, Mickey.
Baby raping Nazi fucking Jesus.
Scott.
Since you guys like Voyager so much.
And Fort Max.
Hey!
You're gonna get the show started or what?
Well, we've made it just over halfway through the month of hell. Can we make it through two more weeks?
Oh, we certainly can.
Oh, if we can survive this episode and all of its cruddiness, I think we can kind of do anything.
Wait, this episode's awesome. It's got The Rock in it.
Yeah, for like 2 seconds.
It was electrifying.
It's electric. Ding, 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 ding. That is terrible.
He's the Delta Quadrant's people's champion.
More like Deltoid Quadrant. Am I right, guys?
Oh! Thank goodness.
All right, well, actually, hold on one second. Let me, like, close the door or something, because I'm afraid I'm bothering everybody.
You are, so disconnect.
But if he disconnects, one of us will have to do the summary and not me. Guess we can make Max do it.
Damn it. At least me. I should have said not it.
1, 2, 3, not it. All right, guys. You guys got to, like, fucking kick it up a notch. This is just... I'm already depressed. I haven't even started watching this shitty episode yet.
I'll kick it up after I can get the episode to load up.
Okay, well...
So calm your tits.
tits are inflamed.
How's the laptop doing this week?
It's behaving so far. Was it season 6?
Yes.
Episode 15.
Bless your heart. There it is.
Wow, mean.
Sundara.
Yeah.
Isn't Scott supposed to be doing the summary?
I am, but I gotta wait for his ass to get the episode going so he can watch.
Not really. I mean, he could be doing that while you're, you know, talking about the episode.
Well, it's not like I'm going to be stalling for time. I want to stretch.
Okay. I'll get it going in, then pass it to Scott.
All
the episode
right.
Opens up 30 minutes of the camera spinning in a circle and making me want to throw up.
With the quietest loud crowd I've ever seen.
It's like a Japanese wrestling match. It's very polite.
I don't know. No one's dressed up as a robot in this.
That makes it better.
What do you mean, like, when you say robot, do you mean, like 70s robot where they're all blocky and square made out of cardboard boxes?
Yeah, Sentai robot.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. So the first wrestler guy that comes out, he's so skinny.
It's Goldicott cost penis.
You know, the sound cut for a second there, so all I heard was it's Goldicott cost penis.
That is what he said.
Cosplaying.
As a penis.
Yes.
Yes.
Look at the shape of the hair. He clearly has purple helmet going on.
Maybe he's from Splatoon.
He's a squid.
Oh, he's got little tentacles hanging down.
Yeah, yeah. He's got the spots. He does look kind of squiddy.
He smells like... But is he a kid?
He smells like the ocean.
Is he fresh?
No.
Does he not drink?
And strangely, he's fighting Martok, which I don't understand.
That is Martok. Good call. Ben caught that as well.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of hard to miss the voice.
Yeah, the voice was just like, but I'm looking at him like, why does this guy so... Well, see, what I am sad about, though, is I'm looking at this other alien, and I'm like, what a goofy, dumb-looking alien. What a wuss. What a crappy alien. And then later it's like, oh, that's a Hirogen. I'm like, oh, shit. I didn't recognize
that's Star Trek's answer to the Predators.
Basically.
They kind of painted themselves into a corner with the Hirogen by making the first two of them be 8 feet tall, and then they couldn't find any more actors that were 8 feet tall.
Yeah, they're supposed to be ridiculously big.
And then, like, the final time the Hirogen appeared, they were all about 5 feet tall.
Voyager's aliens start out with lofty ideas, and they quickly realize, oh shit, we can't fulfill this promise.
So what was the lofty idea with the Kazon?
That people would give a shit about them?
That was just poor planning.
Yeah.
Alright, that's...
I mean, okay, seriously, the Kazon. 3 years of a single episode villain.
No one ever gave a shit about the Kazon. I still don't know their defining trait besides they're like they had factions and they were tribal. Is that like their only thing?
That and they had shitty technology.
Okay.
And they're just kind of pricks.
Oh, okay, so they're not threatening. They're just kind of jerks, and they're fractured and can't provide any sort of actual threat.
Like basically, they wouldn't.
What a great villain!
They wouldn't be even a potential threat if like there was a full Starfleet presence in the Delta Quadrant.
Oh well, yeah, they'd be.
The only threat is that they have more numbers than there is a Voyager.
Which is kind of true for every other thing.
Except this is Voyager, where they could clearly the crew can just bullshit their way to victory.
You know, I bet if you gave the crew of Voyager enough time, they could have built a whole second Voyager, just, you know, out of their spare.
No, not until they blew up the first one.
Okay, so
no,
the
you know, what great
they really should have done more of though, and so the Kazon is the Vidians, the Phage. Because while that idea doesn't make any goddamn sense, at least it's more interesting to have cancer race than feather people.
On the other hand, you have to think the makeup effects probably made that prohibitive.
And the Phage people, I remember when I was kind of watching this in the 90s when it was actually out, I remember thinking without paying much attention to it that the Phage people were the Kazon. I never could tell them apart, to be honestly, because they acted exactly the same way and they looked similar.
The Phage never had hair, they just had scabs.
Oh.
Well, the Kazon don't have hair either. They have, like, coral.
And feathers.
That's the part that confused me. Like, was that supposed to be growing out of them? Is it woven into their hair? I mean, like...
It's a really shitty weave.
Yeah.
And because they're tribal, they get in fights on their own ships a lot, so there's just tufts of it everywhere on the floor.
I mean, is that why they have that stuff in their hair? Is it like the deer that, you know, had the antler fights? So they just, like, bash their coral together?
The velvet, yeah.
Yeah.
They have to shed it.
Uh-huh.
That's horrifying.
Hooray for bodies. Yeah, hooray for body parts that don't have pain receptors, though.
Like my face.
Yeah, well, that explains a lot. Oh, I didn't even feel that hammer.
It doesn't hurt me, but it's killing you.
Okay, anyway, back to the thrilling wrestling match.
All right, I'm going. So, okay, so they start off, they're in orbit over this planet for a well-needed shore leave, because that's what you do when you're completely unfamiliar territories, you let your crew just go wander about.
Wait, back in a little bit, back to the wrestling match. The wrestling match ends, and the camera pans up to Chakotay and B'Elanna going, fuck yeah, violence!
Yeah.
Goddamn savages. Klingons and American Indians.
There it is. Now the show has started.
Because who loves beating up people more than Klingons and Indians?
Well, that is the classic battle.
Chakotay's like yelling, scalp them! Scalp them!
And, I mean, I did have some reservations about doing this episode. But
yeah! I need a drink.
God damn it, Paladin.
Hey, Mickey started it. Don't get mad at me because I finished something he starts.
I didn't start with puns. I was just being racist. There's a difference. I was being offensive. You were just being offensively humorous.
Humorless.
Now you're going on with the puns.
No, I'm correcting you. You called him humorous, and that was anything but.
All right, guys, let's stop fighting. Let's just bury the hatchet and move on.
God damn.
Okay, well, that's enough of Scott for tonight. Joke will be on me when he doesn't come back.
It's okay, I was laughing the whole time. All right.
So, Janeway's taking a vacation from the crew.
Look, I'm going to use every part of that joke.
Just like the Vidians.
Yes. All right. So are you driving? Hey, Mickey, what's going on here?
No, I'm trying to. I'm grabbing hold of the wheel while you're looking out the window and playing Pokemon Go.
Oh, snap. Look. Okay. Look. Okay. So.
No, that's a different game.
That's a better game, to be honest.
Pokemon, go fuck yourself.
See, now, if they'd made Pokemon Go more like Pokemon Snap, you know, where the object is to just go get good pictures of the Pokemon instead of, you know, nebulously capturing them for no apparent purpose, I could get behind that.
Yeah. I think enslaving animals is its own fun.
Well, yes, it is. It is. I'm not denying that. Just in the terms of, like, you know, workable game mechanics given the system in place, I think something like making a new Pokemon Snap out of this would have been better.
Also, if it's Pokemon Go, I mean, don't you need like a board and little black and white pebbles to play with?
You know, this truly is a successor to Super Hero Time because we stopped talking about the subject matter, started talking about Pokemon.
Yes!
It's more interesting than this retarded episode. Let's move on. So they're in orbit around this planet in the middle of the Delta Quadrant, just because whatever. And Janeway just says, go ahead, just go wander around. We don't know anything about this place, but it's shore leave, so have fun. I'm leaving Commander Chakotay in charge of Voyager. That'll work well. And apparently Janeway got on a shuttlecraft and just buggered off somewhere else.
Yeah, she took the Delta Flyer to like have her own vacation with three dudes from the crew.
Oh, well, that makes perfect sense. Gross sense, but it makes sense.
She's going to violate their prime directives.
Yeah. I replicated these scants from season one TNG. Wear them.
Yeah, okay. I want to see the Deep Space Nine jumpsuit scant.
They're going to be trying to squeeze into Seven of Nine's leotards. Get moose knuckle for days.
We need Enterprise era scants.
Ah.
But jumpsuit scants covered in pockets.
Yeah.
It's like a utilikilt.
Okay, I kind of want one of those now. A utilikilt.
That's okay.
I'm going to take control of this car, apparently.
I'm going. I'm going. So, Chakotay and Janeway are walking through the corridors. I better be getting a bonus of my 401k for this. And she's basically, look, I'm going to go off and do all this stuff. You're in charge of the house. Make sure the pets are fed. Make sure the ensigns don't, you know, open up a window.
And make sure Seven of Nine doesn't have the stove start assimilating the rest of the ship.
No. Okay, so like that was Neelix who is using Seven of Nine's Borg tech to upgrade his kitchen. Because that's totally a thing that anybody would let him ever do.
There are no greater delicatessens in the galaxy than the Borg. Don't they eat, like, the liquefied remains of their own selves? I mean,
that's the Automats. Matrix. What?
Automats.
Oh, okay.
Yes. All right. So Janeway does this cute little, and be sure to tell the captain when she's being overprotective. Mm-hmm. And she tousles his hair and then, you know, gets in her minivan and drives away. Here's $20 for pizza, kids. God.
Hey, I'll take
the
that.
Cruise bed batch in.
California, $20 wouldn't get you a pizza. All right. So, Valana comes in. And she kind of does a walk and talk with Chakotay, and they walk to the mess hall, where Neelix turns around and has two-faced himself.
Yeah, at first I was hoping this was a follow-up to that whole, you know, Borg kitchen tech thing, where he, like, exploded something and just, you know, seared half of his face off.
Infected it with nanites and starts taking him over.
Yeah. A nice B-plot for the episode, you know.
Yeah. Watching him slowly get taken over by Borg tech would have been an A-plot. I would watch that episode. That would have been a good one.
Oh, no, we did watch that episode, except it was Enterprise and it was Phlox instead of Neelix.
Oh, yeah. I like Phlox better.
Just
than
for reference. Oh, no, Phlox is better than Phlox is better than Neelix.
Yeah.
At the same time, though, we've already seen that plot.
Right. Well, Star Trek would never reuse a plot. Let's just be clear.
No, never.
So now they're talking about
hardly. Alana and Chakotay are talking about how much they want to see more people get beaten to bloody pulp.
Yes.
Chakotay's like, I can't. I work. And Alana's like, well, just have someone else do it and fuck off. You're the captain now. Right, I am.
Yeah. I have power now. I have power. I can feel my testicles again.
You're the captain now. Put Harry in charge. He'll eyeball it.
Yeah. So, 709 kind of wanders up to B'Elanna and Chakotay, who are just rigid with excitement to go watch another Tsukase match.
B'Elanna's always rigid with excitement.
She's rigid for your pleasure. So, 709 walks up with Tuvok, and they're like, fighting is stupid. We're going to go look at a nebula. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to go do.
Not fuck at all.
Nope. Not metronome.
They're going to go watch a star explode.
Which is pretty orgasmic for both of these psychopaths.
Actually, they're watching a macro nebula collapse.
Which is kind of the exact opposite of what Fort Max said.
Yeah, it's like watching a tiny fart collapse into like a fart nugget.
The beauty of childbirth.
I'm glad I left before Ben came home.
Those farts would not have been tiny.
No, they would have come out as nuggets.
You'd have to think in three dimensions to defeat a fight in that cloud.
Well, that I don't know what's... Oh, sure, you want to talk about this, but the episode. In fairness, it is more entertaining. All right.
Yes, let's make more con fart jokes.
Yeah, can I just, like, go back in and filter that scene in Wrath of Khan so the nebula is brown instead of purple?
All right, so Paris walks into the cargo bay, which is apparently 709's bedroom now. And he's, like, grilling her, like, so, how long are you going to be gone? She's like, 2 days, leave me alone. And he's like, oh, you're just like B'Elanna. You're a woman, so you're all the same. No matter what species or history? You racist prick.
And he grabs something out of the thing and says, oh, what's this?
Yeah.
Here, blood. It's my industrial strength hair dryer, and I can't leave without it.
Right. It's so clearly not as a marital aid. Of course, hers would probably need like a pull cord or something.
I'm pretty sure the Borg have that internally.
Oh my god, they are a superior species. I can make my prostate vibrate at any frequency I want.
Prostate modulator.
Yeah. Warp factor.
Oh, this episode is so bad.
Oh. All right. So, but it's funny. There's a little ray of sunshine coming in. There's a little ray of sunshine. So, 709 is walking with her two duffel bags full of sex aids.
No, those are like 55 gallon drums. If it was Detroit, they'd be on fire.
Well, either that or both of those connect together to make one big cylinder. I don't know. I don't know what her plans are. So apparently she's got two halves of your mom's dildo. And so the doctor comes around the corner and says, so do you want to hang out?
No.
Go down the planet and go to museums and do highbrow shit? And she's like, fuck off. I mean, seriously, fuck off. I am so sick.
A bug display.
And then he touches her, and she, like, her eyes widen up like she's about to snap his neck.
She can't.
Well, he's got the hollow emitter. She could affect him.
But he has no skeleton.
Yeah, well. So anyway, he starts making fun of Tuvok.
Like, tell you to hang out with people?
So, you want to hang out with Tuvok? He's so boring. You can hang out with me. And she's like, no, fuck off. I want to go watch this fart collapse.
No, what she does is, okay, sure, that sounds great. Pack a bag, get in. We're doing fart collapse.
Yeah, no time to explain. Get in. Yeah, so she actually outbores the doctor and he decides to not go. Yeah, okay. So he's all disappointed. So then we cut to a little shuttlecraft. Tiny little shuttlecraft. So little.
Not a Delta Flyer.
Not the Delta Flyer. And it's Tuvok and Seven of Nine sitting in uncomfortable silence.
No, they seem
no, it's not.
I was wondering who was going to jump on that. Jesus, you guys did watch the episode. Good.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
That was a trick.
And you failed for it, you fools! So she just remarks that it's been like 2 hours since we talked. Isn't that interesting? And he goes, no. And she goes, oh. And then nothing. Oh, my God. Scintillating. Scintillating!
But you know what's remarkable is they've got better chemistry together than Paris and B'Elanna.
Yes. These two are more believable friends than those two are lovers.
And they don't even react to each other. We're so piloting a shuttle.
So yeah. this big Spaceballs 1 looking spaceship comes gliding up behind them.
It's using Astroglide.
Oh my God, you son of a bitch. How could I have ever made that joke in Star Trek before? I don't want to do this podcast anymore.
You're now officially a member of the family, man.
Astroglide, you prick. So anyway, so this big ship sidles up next to him. Astroglides up to them. And it kind of turns off their shields and then teleports and fucking bomb onto the not even a bridge, it's just inside of it.
No, I love Tuvok's reactions. Maybe I should touch it.
Yeah.
It starts going faster.
So he touches it, got a force field. He gets right up on that thing and deep throats it and it explodes.
Well, I mean,
he was up on that shit. So it cuts immediately.
Yeah, he was going to block the explosion with his face.
Which he did a pretty good job of, if you've seen the next scene.
That's because he's stone-faced.
Cuts to the next scene, and there is Wei-Yun, who looks really weird for some reason, doing a scan on Seven of Nine, going, ooh, Borg technology. Oh, you're so tough. You'll make a great fighter.
He's telling her all this while she's unconscious, but still, it's important.
What's important to whisper sweet nothings, you know, to women who are unconscious?
Yes. What?
She looks kind of nonplussed, and then we cut to commercial.
Well, doesn't she always looks kind of nonplussed?
She does. But luckily, we cut to a commercial to relieve some of this tension and give us all a breather from all this.
It was really great for Jeri Ryan that she was able to find this, like, ongoing role that really, like, suited the scope of her acting talent.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
Half robot?
It really showcases her range.
Yeah.
Her vast tracts of land. So she asks about Tuvok, where's he? And Wei-Yun wannabe says, he's hurt. He's around here somewhere.
So the guard has dragged Tuvok in. Seven Nine's like, oh God, he's so ashy. Get him some cream.
I can barely smell the coconut butter.
Because for some reason the explosion turned him gray. I don't really get that.
Well, he's like E.T. You know, when he gets sick, he turns all gray and ashy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's an alien. It's like E.T.
But did Spock get gray and ashy when he got radiated?
Yes, he got all bumpy.
No, he had a very nice glow.
Oh.
Like, it was covered in bumps, too. Oh, you're right. Tuvok is all ashy looking.
I told you. I'm just being racist. I'm saying he looks weirdly monochromatic, like he's from a silent film or something.
So Seven starts trying to entreat the Wei Yun wannabe to, you know, actually heal him because he's covered in bad makeup prosthetics, and he's like, "Well, if you fight for Marie, I'll heal him." And she's like, "Okay, whatever." Oh my god, who cares?
Speaking of who cares, let's rejoin the Voyager crew in the mess hall.
So now they're talking about
there's Chakotay is busy looking.
No,
Scott.
Well, no, I think you're lagging. 2, 3, 4.
Am I?
I can't tell if just being an asshole or having technical difficulties.
I'm being an asshole.
Wah, wah. Okay, this next scene was not good, but at least it was entertaining.
No.
So, well, it's funny because everyone just shits on Harry, and it's really funny to watch him just getting completely dumped on by everybody all the time.
That's any episode of Voyager.
Exactly, but it's just such a running gag. It's just fun to see because I think this was a particularly nasty version of it because they just call him a pussy right to his face.
Hope it doesn't hurt your clarinet fingers.
Yeah, don't want to affect your ability to handle that bone flute. So anyway, they go up there and they start bragging about like all the sports they play, and Chakotay's bragging about, well, you know, I was a great boxer back in my day, and Paris just kind of feeds his ego like, yeah, boss, yeah, yeah, you're the greatest, boss. And see, I'm a boxer. I can knock anybody out in one hit. And then Harry's like, well, you know, I've been hurt before, too, playing my sports. Like, what do you play? Well, Parisi Squares, which is apparently is like a dangerous sport in, like, Starfleet.
I think it's like high limey shuffleboard.
Yeah, that's kind of how I envision it, too.
And, it's got a pretty faggy-sounding name.
It is Parisi's.
You should say that's coming from me, and I suck cock, so, you know.
You should see the uniforms.
I'm an expert on this.
Of course, you beat someone bad enough, you just knock the Parisi's feces out of them. So anyway, they're all making fun of Harry for being a pussy. And he's like, oh, do you want to go, old man?
And Chakotay's like, yes, violence, blood.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? So, whatever. So, yeah, they all start making fun of Harry for being a pussy. So, they Chakotay and B'Elanna are walking through the halls again, as they want to do, and trying to figure out what, you know, how to go watch another Tsukase match.
They're West-winging.
Yeah, they're West-winging.
Yes, the director watched a few episodes of West Wing and was really impressed and had to try that himself.
Well, he wanted to know if his actors could actually walk and talk at the same time.
Barely.
Yeah, well, they can walk
they can
and talk.
Walk and talk, but they can't walk, talk, and act at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, beat me to it, you son of a bitch.
Well, Scott is just off his game tonight.
I really am. I'm actually letting you guys get all these points. It's really pissing me off. So what it comes down to is... No?
We're making you take the lead.
Yeah, which is really annoying.
God damn it.
Like, well, it's like being the alpha of a bunch of betas. I mean, we're watching Star Trek, so... Yay, King of the Losers. So B'Elanna's... So, hey, here I'm typing away, making a note. So B'Elanna's like, so, how are you going to go to the Tsukase match? Have you figured out who's going to take your duty shift? And he's like, yeah, you dumbass, because you gave me the idea. Get to work. And she's like, ugh, like does the forehead slap thing.
Which has to hurt, considering.
Yeah.
Also, so, where'd Mickey go?
Oh, I think he just got tired of our shit. Okay, well, I'm pausing it then until...
Technical difficulties, I think.
Testicle difficulties. We're about to get some hot, sweet doctor action, too, and he left now.
You ever notice how you don't ever see Mickey and the doctor in the same place at the same time?
Now that you mention it.
Hmm.
I want a cardboard stand-up of the doctor I can put in my bedroom.
Hi, Mickey.
Hi, I'm futzing things. Don't worry about it. Just keep going.
All right,
when you put it that way.
Moving on. So now we cut to the sick bay where Neelix has decided to smear himself with snail snot or something, trying to cure his sunburn. And the doctor gives him a rousing, what the fuck are you doing using homeopathy? We have science.
And Neelix responds, I thought it would be funny. I'm the comic relief character.
Waka waka.
As, you know, half his body is covered with these hideous boils.
Yeah. I'm in excruciating pain. Ha ha.
And the other half is latex prosthetics.
So the Doctor is lamenting like how shitty it is that, you know, people are like watching violence because he's so much more evolved than everyone.
Don't you come look at bugs with me?
Yeah. And he looks like, you know what, I'd rather see people beat the shit out of themselves than spend another second with you, Baldy.
Bugs or violence? Bugs or violence?
You understand, it's a cultural phenomenon. Everyone's watching on it every week.
It's as big as Pogs, I tell you. Bigger!
Everyone's watching it every week, only on UPN.
Space UPN. So then we cut back down to the dumbest looking arena, and we got 90s rollerbladers fake fighting each other.
Oh man, can you imagine if this is more like American Gladiators?
How is it not?
It's not cool or fun or campy. It's just dumb.
Point.
What if it was like roller derby?
Yeah, yes. Look at the walls. They need to be wearing roller skates during this.
Yeah.
So they have these little sensors on their bodies, and when you punch them, it gives off like a tetrion burst and causes searing pain or
something?
I know
this. They called it, what was it, the Sega Activator.
That's really great. They found a way to make punches and kicks hurt.
Yeah, yeah, because that was a problem that's been plaguing mankind all across the galaxy forever.
That's great that they found a way to make punches and kicks be blinky.
Yes. How can we make punching somebody high-tech? How can we inject technobabble into boxing?
See, this is where the episode loses a lot of credibility, because we have a women's match in the heyday of the WWE on UPN, and neither of them stripped down to bikinis. There's no kiddie pool full of honey.
Yeah. So I don't really care what you're saying right now, because The Rock just walked out, and I can indeed smell what he is cooking.
In 30 seconds, he delivers more charisma than the entire cast does in 7 seasons.
And isn't it great how his prosthetic is specially designed so his eyebrows are completely visible?
Yes.
Yeah. He comes out, does the people's eyebrow, wanders around for 2 seconds, and he's a Pindari. They're known for their superior strength and their bad temper. And they have a tendency to throw their opponents into the stands.
And you steal chairs.
So, who's going to
I really like the way he fills out his space overalls as well.
I'm sure you do.
I mean, so it really makes him look...
So, wait a second. How could someone in this be known for throwing people into the stands when they're not actually there?
Shh, don't ruin it! Spoilers! God damn, man! Formax has an excellent point, and that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Because as we find out later in the episode, the fighters aren't actually there. They're just holograms.
Well, you know, no, what? It's like those...
wrestling is fake?
No, it's like those...
it's still real to me!
It's like those Riff Tracks events. You know, you can go to theaters all over the country and watch them, but the people aren't actually there performing.
They're not?
Right.
I've been to 3 of them. What are you talking about? They're clearly shadowed on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, that means they're sitting up in the projection booth in front of the projector, right?
Right, that's what I assumed.
Yeah.
I paid good money to watch these guys live. I need to seriously reconsider my life. But before I do that...
The Riff Tracks, they aren't the silhouettes in front of the screen.
Again, you're just ruining things for me.
You know, Scott, it occurs to me, like, the time to reconsider your life would have been, like... 38, 39 episodes ago.
Right, about a year ago before I started this madness.
Yeah.
All right. So before Fort Max can ruin my life anymore.
just give her a minute.
Oh, my God. So we're going to watch 7 of 9 fight The Rock, which I kind of feel like it was fan fiction before this happened.
Oh, he's like Nemesis.
Now, I love this scene because it's so shitty.
It is.
And it's so trans-fucking-parent.
Yeah.
It's like, 709 is the ultimate, hey, watch this show, we've got a sexy blonde and a cat suit character.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to have The Rock, the WWE, the most popular thing ever, cross over to try and boost ratings.
Right.
It's just this perfect nexus of please watch this show.
Yeah, clap, please. So, and honestly, I do kind of feel like 709 should have kicked his ass. I mean, she is Borg-enhanced, for God's sakes.
Right, but, like, if you watch the fight, the whole point is, like, she perfectly well could have, and she just didn't want to.
Yeah, she got in the fight. It's a blue match, which means no one has to die. It's just to unconsciousness or whatever. So they're trying to yell at her, and she can't hear them for some reason, and they're trying to beam her out, and it's not working, and they can't quite figure out why.
See,
maybe they should have just... Maybe they should have just waited for Fort Max to ruin everything, and they wouldn't have to bother.
Oh, I don't have to. That show, that entire series did enough ruining on its own.
Okay, Borg aren't great fighters. They're strong, certainly, but the only thing they ever do is they swing their arms wide like a baseball bat.
But they're tough, though.
Should be fairly easy to defeat since she's less Borg strong and she's got no real combat training.
I guess. It just seemed like she would just be strong and fast and just tough. It'd be hard to even damage her. Because one thing I do like is the makeup job they did on her for seeing her wounded and damaged. I thought it was really cool looking, but we'll get to that in a minute. So she gets up and starts running along the edge. And he just picks her up and throws her. The Rock is beating the shit out of 709. So they try to beam her out. Nothing's happening, but they notice their images kind of flicker. And that's when they realize, wait a minute, they're not actually here. What? And apparently this one fight is being broadcast all over the sector.
Being broadcast live!
High-tech dubbing gadget. Live simulcast.
And The Rock finishes her off with a clothesline, and oh my god, she's been broken in half. Stop the match.
Oh, I'm sure we're not the only people to want to see Jerry Ryan snapped in half, if you know what I mean. Mm.
Just ask her ex-husband.
I...
Wow.
I don't know what that means, but I'm afraid to laugh.
It involves sex clubs and a divorce.
Ooh. Her or him in the sex clubs?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's quite salacious.
Yes, I think we'll have to talk about this on the after show.
On Toast After Dark.
Yeah. Toast Nights. All right, so whatever. So they all beam up to the ship going, this is stupid. We didn't want to see 709 get her ass kicked. So they get in contact with Janeway, who's like picking up her cell phone while she's trying to drive her Astro van.
Her Chevy Astro.
Basically. And they're trying to explain to her what's going on. And she's like, God damn it, I can't leave you people alone for 5 fucking minutes. I'm turning this minivan around and coming home.
I like how her response is, oh, well, that is very popular right now. Lots of people watch wrestling. I mean, Tsunkatsu.
Anyway, wink. she expresses how she's in the middle of a rim right now and won't be back for a while.
There's got to be a better way to phrase that, man.
Mickey, any suggestions?
Yeah, that chair she's sitting in doesn't have a back. Who is...
Yes, Captain. Oh, it tastes like coffee.
God.
That's the best part of waking up.
That isn't Folgers.
No, it isn't.
It's dry roast.
Yeah, anyway, it would be. Yeah, down here is kind of a dark roast bean I'm seeing. All right, whatever. So we cut back to 709, who's being scanned by Martok. And he's like, oh, you're very good, but you need training. And she's like, eh, I don't care. One thing I'd like, her beat-up makeup is cool, because on her arm, her skin's kind of torn away. You can see, like, Borg tech under her arm, which I thought was kind
of
cool.
And around the Borg tech, you can see the outside edge of the prosthetic not blending into her skin, which is awesome.
Just, you know, ruining dreams one episode at a time.
Well, I'm with you. It's a nice idea. But...
Well, you know. I like minutia like that. I like.
I always felt like Seven didn't have enough board parts visible on her.
Right, that was my thing. It's
kind of a cheat.
It is. It really is, because she's supposed to be like mostly Borg. So, but really, at the end of the day, what it comes down to is I like imagining Star Trek characters with their skin off. So this was a rare for me. Okay, moving on. So Wei-Yun, wannabe.
So Scott, in your mind, how deep does Riker's beard go?
Well, it's one of those things where it goes all the way. I mean, all of it.
Riker's beard penetrates with fullness.
Yes. All the way to the back.
All the way to the jazz.
To the jazz hole. All right. So Wei-Yun's like, oh, 3 billion people watch your match. Man, they really love seeing a Borg get their ass kicked. Can't wait to see how much they're going to pay to watch one die. And then he exits stage left.
With a twirl of his mustache, which is glued to his earlobes.
This is connected to his earlobes, yeah, which is odd, but whatever.
It's not odd, it's dumb.
It's like, how did evolution choose that as a good thing?
I don't think mustache style is an evolutionary thing. I think that's more just, you know, hairstyling.
So does it grow out of his earlobes and he attached it to his upper lip? Or did it come out of his upper lip and he attached it to his
earlobes? It comes out of his earlobes and he spirit gums it to his face.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah,
so
that's not even a mustache. It is just his ear hair.
Yeah, it's not going to be the lobes, it's going to be the drum.
Oh, gross. It twitches when people walk by like a spider's web.
No, actually, it senses vibrations there. That's actually how he hears. It carries the vibrations up to his ear.
It's very sensitive.
Ugh. All right. So
episode.
This is a really bad episode, y'all.
But this is a classic podcast episode.
The Hirogen guy, Hirogen Martok, says, I'll train you. She's like, no, I don't want to fight. He's like, you're going to die, and so's your buddy. And in fairness, Tuvok just kind of lays there, so doesn't have to do anything. He's in the background just laying there taking a nap. He is literally taking a nap back behind.
You know what's kind of great? Is he had to get all dressed up in prosthetics for wounds and shit and to not even do any acting?
Yep, he just lays there.
He had like a 4 a.m. makeup call and like, do nothing all day.
What else is new?
All right, just lay there like a piece of wood instead of act like a piece of wood.
Can do.
He does get to catch up on the sleep he missed from getting up so early.
That's true.
See, there we go. A little positivity from Fort Max. That's nice.
Yeah.
I wonder if Vulcan snore.
Snoring is illogical.
They do it in a very precise algorithm. So, 709 goes, fine. If I could snore the theme to a Muck Time, I would, but... But I feel like I'd injure myself. So 709 agrees to do training with Martok Hirogen.
We're going to need a montage.
Yeah, we need a training montage like Eye of the Tiger. Eye of the Tribble.
Eye of the Targ.
Ooh, yeah, that's better.
Yes.
There you go. Much better. So they just have this talk. She's like, oh, I'm getting good at this. And he just like... takes 2 seconds and beats the crap out of her.
She read a book.
Yes. And he's like, oh, you can't use... Or she's like, oh, use an unsanctioned move. He's like, it's going to happen. You can't learn how to fight by reading a book.
Have you watched wrestling?
Yes. Yeah. I like how she punches him in his cracked ribs. Like, I noticed you're wounded there. I thought I'd really fucking hurt you. He's like, thanks. It hasn't healed 19 years like the assholes like you.
Right. All this time it hasn't healed properly. So he's like, yeah, have you not watched wrestling? So when they come out and the fireworks start going off, that's when you run up and just punch him in the nuts. So derpa, wound he sustained, one of his first matches. He's got a weak spot. Okay, whatever, after 19 years. So he's been doing this shit for 19 years. I didn't know Hirogen lived that long.
He's, Hulk Hirogen.
I'm not going to...
He's going to sue this media empire.
Yeah.
I still say Hirogen look like hermit crabs without shells when they don't have their armor on. They look all squishy.
They look like some kind of terrible Babylon 5 race.
Yes, they do.
They are
the Vorlon or whatever.
Oh no, they're more like scaly Narn.
Isn't that some kind of disease you get in your armpits?
I was gonna say, if you shave too close, it sounds like what you get. I got the clippers and I gave myself scaly Narn. Dude, my Narn's all scaly. Give me the cocoa butter.
I used to don't like that.
So Martok is like, don't sympathize with your prey. You have to just try to kill them, and you have to accept that or you'll die. And goes on and on and on and on. Yes, you have to learn how to fight. We get it. But Jerry Ryan does look just spectacular in that bodysuit. Not to put a too fine a point on it, but yeah.
Let's go back to Neelix and Chakotay.
Oh, yeah, something interesting.
Briefly mention the moral conundrum of this.
Oh, yeah, which actually happens for like 5 seconds. So, now, actually, I do like this scene. I have to admit, I do like this scene. Neelix comes back from talking to the government. He's like, look, I talked to their ambassador. I talked to the official channels. And they really don't care. I mean, I got some feedback and, oh, they'll look into it. But look, this is bureaucracy. Nothing's going to happen. We have to solve this on our own.
It's making them too much money.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like, this is their entire economy and nobody's going to rock the boat.
Right, but I like the fact they paid lip service of, you know, going through proper channels. I sent Neelix as an ambassador because that's kind of his job on the Voyager. I actually liked this scene.
Well,
I actually watched this.
Went, here's why they went through proper channels. Chakotay's in charge.
But, I don't know, I like the fact that Starfleet actually, they at least paid lip service to doing it the boring way. Because otherwise,
who's in charge?
What I like is how the poor person who was forced to write this episode for Star Trek slips the line in there, like, I can't believe us civilized people are watching this violence and garbage slow turn towards camera.
Right.
What kind of person would enjoy this bullshit?
Right.
Stare at audience. And Tony's response is, well, me, until, you know, it inconvenienced me.
Typical white dude.
Live my life that way. I do anything until it slightly inconveniences me, then I stop. So they go down to the Astromagics and they figure out that the signal's coming from some traveling Spaceballs 1 ship.
Okay, this is retarded. So they pinpointed the signals come from like 6 different spots. And they thought, oh, well, it's because this is a flight plan because we've drawn a line between these spots.
You can't draw a line between points if something's not flying between them. It's a rule.
Yeah,
so I could draw like, you know, circles around these lines in a big loop. That wouldn't make it true.
No, it would, because you've drawn the line that makes it be the flight path.
The line dictates.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Now.
Yeah, it's like every collection of stars is a constellation of anything that you can think of, as long as you write it down.
Yes.
Once they drew the line, the ship had to obey the path.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
The only thing I could figure is there's like some sort of gravimetrics or there are nebula nearby that would make sense to avoid. And I don't know.
I
tried
to take the bubble they could have said to give it a Star Trek explanation. No, but no, it's just like, look, these things form a line.
Or they could have just shown that, oh, the thing is moved, that, oh, the broadcast is moving.
Yes.
Instead of it's just coming from this point and now it's coming from this point.
Yes, there were a number of ways they could have made that made sense, but they chose not to, and I don't know why. And as watching,
oh, I know
as
exactly,
I was watching the episode,
I know exactly why. I know
I was
exactly
trying to figure
why.
Out why.
The time they would have spent giving this a little bit more foundation had to be spent with the Rock fighting 7 of 9. Like the 2.5 minutes they would have put into Technobabble had to go to the publicity stunt.
Yeah, fair enough.
One of the few times Voyager could have used more technobabble.
Even so, it wouldn't have been good technobabble.
No. All right, so we cut back down to 7 of 9, who has learned how to do some high kicks from a low camera angle, which is fine, I guess. I mean, could you guys be a little less obvious? I mean, this is like Street Fighter 2 Turbo, where you pause it when Chun-Li is kicking kind of thing. Like, oh, I just paused my VCR. Now I can see her with her legs spread. So, Martok
directed this episode.
What?
He's a somewhat pervy Japanese director.
Oh, okay. So 7 of 9 is like, oh, I'm training, and yeah, they apparently had a montage off screen. So now Martok Hirogen is like, oh, you've trained well, and now you're ready to fight. So your next fight, you'll definitely win. Yep, you'll totally win your next fight because I trained you and I've spent all this time with you. So now Tuvok is up and about, still burned all to hell, but you know, still being kind of awesome. So he's trying to do the Starfleet thing of trying to hack open the door using science, which he fails to do. So, yeah. Good job.
So I call Seven's like, no, I will not fight someone to the death. And Tuvok says, okay, well, then you're going to die. Well, maybe I will do it then.
Yeah, well, if you put it that way.
Like, Tuvok totally does not even give a shit. She's like, yeah, this is the deal. Deal with it. Go kill that asshole. I don't care.
Well, that's why Tuvok and 7 of 9 make a good pair, because, like, he does not have to try to appeal to, like, the emotional side of things as much. It's it all comes down to, look, if you do this, this is going to happen, or if you don't, this is going to happen. Pick.
But he still manages to put a dig in there. It's like, well, as a drone, you took many lives. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I mean, Jesus.
Like, think of all the children you slaughtered.
Exactly. And I was like, that didn't bother you then. This shouldn't bother you now because you're an inhuman killing machine monster who has no humanity. My God, you're worse than Frankenstein.
Like, no wonder they're such close friends.
Yeah, I mean, he just like destroys years of therapy that she's had on the ship already.
How good therapy would it be considering it's therapy from the doctor?
Right, and Janeway.
Voyager is kind of lacking in a ship's counselor, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what Neelix is there for.
Oh. So Voyager is kind of lacking in a ship's counselor, isn't it?
So 7 of 9 heads out for her next match, which will be a red match, which means it's to the death.
It's for the championship belt.
Yeah, they all are. Is it every match for the championship belt? I can't keep track. So a doggy door opens, and 7 of 9 comes sauntering out. Oh, but now the little glowy bits are red instead of blues. So that's how we know it's a red match.
Yeah, they changed the gels on them.
Jerry Ryan gels.
Okay, look. Oh, it's red because there's only 5 minutes of the fight left.
Right. Oh, no, it looks like Martok Hirogen is the one she's going to fight, the one that's been training her. Oh, what a twist.
So cliche.
So he did not try
to write this episode at all.
No, this is terrible.
You being said you're using The Rock in an episode. It's going to feature wrestling. And the writer's like, fine, whatever. We're not writing anything good.
He took another sip of scope and then sat down at his typewriter. Said, fuck it, I'm doing it, just because. His wife comes
in. I wanted
to
write a novel.
Okay? The wife comes in, you okay? Don't look at me. Oh, whatever. So, yes. Now he's like, well, now I get to kill you.
Wanted to write hard science fiction that looks into the human condition.
Oh. So now Martok is basically kicking her ass.
Because she won't fight back.
So Voyager starts approaching the USS UPN. The UPN ratings. Da, 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 da. So yeah, he says, I mean, so apparently not only is he like the head of the network, he's also the captain of the ship because Weyoun Wannabe answers the phone. Chakotay's like, give us back our people. And he's like, no.
I'll shoot you.
Yeah, Chakotay's like, well, I'll shoot at you. And he's like, what the fuck are you going to do to us? We're like 6 times your size. We're not scared of you. Chakotay's like, damn, how did he know? Apparently they understand relative size.
I like how he answered the phone, too, though. This is not a good time.
Yes. Zipping up his pants. Wiping his hands on his pants leg.
Look, there are only 3 of us on the ship, and we're all busy. Call back later.
Yeah. So Martok is continually beating the crap out of 7 to to lights, strobing, and shit. Now, Jerry Ryan is using her legs quite adeptly, I must say. She's quite the kicker. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. They're fighting, fighting, fighting. Anyone feel free to jump in and do color commentary of like, oh, there's another hit!
Okay, so no. Chakotay's ads. Okay, we're just going to stop trying to attack the ship. We're just going to attack their broadcast antennas.
Oh, now this is something I did notice. They did mention earlier that that these aliens use Tetrion weapons and Tetrion kind of technology. And the beams that they're shooting are that light blue Tetrion color. So I don't know who's keeping track of that stuff who made this episode, but good job.
Okay.
No, seriously.
I'm not more that their broadcast antennas look like fucking satellite TV radio dishes. So like, are they broadcasting this on like XM or something?
Well, no. Like what your grandma had back in the 80s.
Yeah, it's C-band.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Exactly. You had to like turn the knob just right and it actually physically turns the satellite dish to get the channels. Anybody remember that?
Someone across the street who had one of those big C-band dishes.
God, those things were massive. I can't imagine spending that kind of money for that kind of technology to just watch TV. All right, so 709 is kicking the ass out of Martok. The Voyager is basically getting its ass kicked by the big broadcast ship.
They take out, like, one or two antennas, but then they just, you know, compensate with Circuit B or something.
Yeah, well, I like the fact that the whole plan is like, well, if we knock out one of their antennas, then that'll be that many less viewers, and then what's the point of having a fight if nobody's watching? Really? You can't, they don't, like, record it? I mean, it's all live. They don't have recording devices in this.
Well,
no, they have. It's they have you know, anti piracy,
like a DRM.
Yeah,
well, WWE is live.
See, I don't even know that. That's not even something I know.
Well, now you know.
Yep. Na-na-na-na. So
are they only live for pay per view?
No, they're live for Mondays.
Oh, okay.
So even
SmackDown
though
they're live, but.
Even though an Intrepid-class starship is getting its ass kicked by this thing, they're ecstatic to see the Delta Flyer show up and save them?
It's Gandalf! He's brought the Eagles!
Oh my god. And it's the size of a minivan. So Mom
it's
shows up.
It's more like a Winnebago, to be honest.
So Mom shows up with her baby on board sticker. And her Mary Kay applique on the back window.
Wait. Who is Janeway's baby in this case?
They all are.
They're all wearing diapers just off screen.
Yes. Well, this is
she was
right
on
like
vacation.
So Seven is starting to fight back versus Martok, Hirogen, Derpadur. They keep punching each other in the funny buttons. And 709 does like the Army of Darkness Ash punch thing, where it's like right into his face.
Yeah, it's like the least convincing fight choreography.
It's so
terrible. Jerry, you've got 30 minutes to learn the choreography, then you're getting filmed. What?
Because, you know, punches done at arm's length just by wiggling your elbows are just massively damaging. So she's got her arms.
Okay, it could have been worse. They also could have shot it at half speed.
Ugh.
Seems. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. So she's got her arms raised up, about to do a Kirk hammer punch into this poor alien's face and smash his skull in, where they conveniently get transported up to Voyager.
No, as the. Mark
there was no tension in this.
Yes.
No.
They cut up her face where it's supposed to show, like, some type of character turmoil, like, should I kill him, should I not? But instead she just looks blank, like, did I leave the oven on?
Dull surprise?
Dull
not even.
Surprise.
No, there wasn't even surprise. It was just dull.
I think she was more concerned about her camel toe going on than anything else.
She had this look on her face like, is my prosthetic coming off? Should I keep filming?
Yeah.
Blink, keep going.
Spirit gum. I need some spirit gum over here. So gets transported up, and there's a small army of security people aiming their rifles.
Because they knew they were beaming a Hirogen up with her.
Yeah. Yeah, who just got his ass kicked by a board?
She's about to put her fist through his chest. So.
Okay, but like they can't tell that on their sensors. They just know, okay, we've locked on to 7 to 9, and there's a Hirogen there. We can't take just one of them.
Oh, like Chakotay wasn't watching the match and placing bets.
All right, so apparently, and that's just the end of it. Then they just fly away
without without rescuing anyone else.
Yes.
So exactly,
we got what we came for. Bye.
Yeah, look, they can't interfere in the internal affairs of another culture.
Except even, when they do.
No, they. Okay, so it's okay, so they can't interfere if it would help them or help the others.
Yes,
they can't. However, these guys clearly have warp technology. So.
They can't appear in the ratings of another popular franchise.
Right. Remember, this is to promote the WWE, so they can't, like, end the episode shutting down the wrestling society.
Right, the show must go on, because it's good, clean, wholesome entertainment.
Right.
You hear that, major sponsors? Christ. So, yes. Hey, but at least this episode has, like, a section for resolution. They actually give a few minutes of after the plot has ended to show the consequences, which is nice. Although, I'm really kind of annoyed with what they did with the Hirogen. Chakotay just kind of does a voiceover and says, oh, yeah, we found some Hirogen and tossed this guy towards them.
He's going to look for his son. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His son, who, by all accounts, is probably dead.
Right.
Yeah.
Or hates you for being captured.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's not like they have the most understanding culture for that kind of thing.
Right. It's kind of like a death sentence, from what I understood.
Yeah.
Like, oh, go back to your people where you'll be killed for being a pussy.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, maybe they'll hail him as a
lost
hero.
Lost lots of fights? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
About that.
So how much prey did you catch in the last 19 years? None? All right. No armor? No trophies? Yeah.
Ratings?
Yeah, no.
That counts for a 2.0 market share.
I captured the hearts of 18 to 24 year old boys. Sweet, delectable age groups. All right, so whatever. So he, like, for some reason, Hirogen asks her.
The greatest prize of all. Demographics.
Preyed upon their market share.
Yes. More valuable than gold pressed latinum. So the Hirogen just for some reason asks Seven, and it's like, so were you going to kill me or not?
And she's like, and I don't know. That wasn't written in the script.
Yeah, I would actually have a personality to answer that question. So he's like, well, at least you figured out another way out. Good for you. So Tuvok comes into Astrometrics to talk to 7 of 9, and apparently they did indeed give him a new uniform.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
The other one was kind of ratty.
Yeah.
And gray.
So now that he's freshly cocoa buttered, so he just goes, I know we never talk, and I really enjoy not talking to you.
So let's ruin this.
Yes, by talking. So, thanks for not doing the, you know, obviously worst thing, which is letting me die for no reason. That took a lot out of you to just not callously let me die. Yeah, that's real brave. Thanks for lifting a finger to make sure I didn't get murdered. Seriously.
Now, I love how it ends with, you know, are you okay? I'm fine. I meant, mentally, are you okay?
Ooh.
Like, really?
Yeah. When the Hirogen referred to me as weak, he was correct. I'm just weak and vulnerable and... Oh!
I have... probably because she has yet to kill Janeway.
Oh, my God.
And Tuvok's so like, oh, because you feel bad about it, that means you're more human than ever.
Right. And then he puts his hand on his shoulder and goes, I am so fucking sorry. You have my condolences. But remember, you were a drone and you killed thousands of people, innocent or otherwise, so why do you feel guilty now? God damn it, Duval, stop doing that. I mean, your species is a plague on the galaxy. Anyway, back
if it
to
it matter then, why does it matter now?
Yeah.
What's to stop you from going upstairs and killing Janeway right now while she sleeps? I mean, there's phasers flying around everywhere. Look, there's one right here on the floor by my feet. I must have dropped it.
You still have nanite tubules coming out of your hand. So that was it. Now it's over. She looks pensive for a second and then stops. And then credits roll and we're finally done with this episode. Woo! One more episode for Month of Hell.
And it sure is going to be hell because it's going to be a Chakotay episode.
Yep. Wait,
they had those?
Amazingly enough, yes.
No, I mean... okay, wait. Let's slow down. What defines a Chakotay episode?
Boring.
Well, I knew what its qualities were going to be, but what like makes it a Chakotay episode? Because all of these are boring.
Like, there was that time that Chakotay befriended a dinosaur, but it was boring.
Yep.
No, that was Denver the dinosaur. That was that cartoon.
He's your friend and a whole lot more.
A whole lot more.
He's a friend with benefits.
What are you implying? Are you implying I have sex with this dinosaur?
I don't know. What are you inferring?
What are you insinuating? I'm inferring that I'm having sex with the dinosaur.
Okay, so...
Should we deconstruct this now? Can we decompress? Yeah,
so this is our 7 of 9 sucks episode.
It kind of is.
Of hell. Which kind of shows, one, why 7 was frequently the worst fucking thing of just being blatant pandering for ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Two, it also shows more about how Voyager just fucking cut the nuts off the Borg with 7 and everything else they did to the Borg.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And three, of just how fucking lame Voyager's guest stars were.
And it's funny because The Rock, I mean, maybe not in 2002 or whenever this came out, but he went on to be a decent actor. He's made lots of money being in very big movies. And in the stuff that's not action-oriented, he's actually a good actor. I like
The Rock is awesome.
Johnson.
I've got no qualms with The Rock. However,
yeah, right. Hell, he was good in the opening episodes of Transformers Prime.
He sure as hell died.
But how The Rock was utilized in this from concept to execution... is a dumpster fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Next Generation got cool guest stars like Matt Frewer.
Yes, he was awesome.
Whereas Voyager got the Rock to do a few signature moves, and Andy Dick,
and Jason Alexander.
Jason Alexander.
I mean, like, to be fair, at least Jason Alexander is a self-professed fan of Star Trek and probably pursued getting on the show for an episode of his own volition.
Yeah, but then they gave him the Think Tank episode.
Well, yes, I'm not saying it went well for him, but it's like, I don't think, it wasn't exactly like a stunt like this. You know, it was a thing that he probably was interested in doing.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly, I mean, I like Jason Alexander. I think he's funny, so, you know, whatever. But yes, that was a strange episode. So, yeah, they emasculated the Borg, made 7 of 9 be crappy. It was a complete frickin' sellout of an episode. Yep. It was terrible.
So, one episode to go, and so we're faced with picking a Chakotay episode.
Yeah.
My first choice was it Unification or Unity or something?
Unification's actually a good episode.
Yeah, that's Next Generation.
Yeah.
Unity is the one where Chakotay first discovers the Borg.
Oh, he certainly discovers a Borg.
And then XV has introduced this episode just a few minutes ago called Natural Law. Chakotay meets shitty Indians in space, and Paris gets a speeding ticket and has to take it to safety class.
Oh my god, that sounds amazing.
What's even better about that, though, is it's like the third to last episode of the entire series.
Okay, season 7. I'm going to it.
Uh-huh. Season 7, episode 22, I believe.
It's also a 7 slash Chakotay episode.
So it's 21 on Netflix, episode 21. Chakotay's 7 of 9 shuttle is crippled by an energy field, and they crash on a planet inhabited by primitive savages. I mean, species.
Not Indian analogs at all.
No. Oh, wow. Look at that pre-rendered, that opening scene of the pre-rendered Maya-esque landscape of the trees. Oh, my God.
So, yes, this is third from the end for Voyager. What episode number was that one episode of Next Generation?
You might have to be a slightly more specific.
What about the Wesley episode?
The Planet Africa episode.
Oh, that was episode 3. Yeah. That was the episode immediately after the pilot.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Really? Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, you know, you would sit there in 1987, this one week, you watch for 2 hours on TV, Encounter at Farpoint. It's like, okay, Star Trek's back. This is cool. This is different. They're trying things. And then the next week you come back and what the fuck?
Yeah, you don't talk to your friends at work the next day. You know, no one wants to admit they watched it. No one even wants to bring it up at the water cooler. Oh, everybody's, man, new Star Trek series.
Everybody's just kind of standing there staring at their feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Just uncomfortable. No one wants to talk about it.
Some of my best friends are alien African warlords.
Well, except for that one racist guy in the office goes, hey, you guys see the latest episode of Star Trek? Pretty good, huh? And I was like, no, we didn't see that. We didn't watch it. I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. No, I had it in my mind. My kid died last night. I didn't really get a chance to see it. Yeah, pretty terrible. All right. Yeah. So what are we doing next time?
That's what we're just talking about. Well, you're not paying attention.
Well, I didn't know if we had a resolution or not.
I'm leaning towards Natural Law, unless I watch it and it's just unwatchable.
Right. Because I don't remember having ever watched that episode in the first place. But then I don't think I ever watched Season 7 more than once.
I've never watched it at all.
All right. Well, this should be an adventure then.
No, an adventure, usually you get something out of it by the end of it.
We're going to be out in the month of hell at the end of it.
Yeah, okay. We're going to a Geordi month.
Yes.
Fair point.
We're going to go into a glorious month of Geordi episodes.
So lost. Minor headache. All right, so yeah, I think Natural Law is going to be the one.
You know what's great, though? It's just the concept of Geordi episodes is funny. The concept of, say, Riker episodes or Data episodes.
I mean, Riker episodes, there's only so many ways he can swing his leg over the back of a chair. But, like, Geordi is a treasure.
Oh, yeah. So many terrible things happened to him.
Yeah. Like that time he got turned into an alien.
Yeah.
Or the time he turned into a ghost with Ro.
I like that episode.
But he was stuck with Ro for a whole episode, so that's really unfortunate for him.
Well, yeah. No, I understand.
So what was the one that had like a telepresence like robot that he had to wear like this bodysuit you could control it remotely, and something bad happened to him then too?
Because, you know, you couldn't just use like an Xbox controller to do that.
Right, exactly. You got to use fucking telepresence.
Yeah.
And then like his fake girlfriends and the holodeck stuff and
oh yes.
Oh, we're gonna get some Leah Brahms going on.
Oh yes.
Yeah. And the fact that his best friend is artificial.
You know, I don't think I ever really thought of it in exactly that way. Geordi has a for real imaginary best friend.
Yep. When Geordi's parents told him, Geordi, you need to go out and make friends. They didn't mean that literally.
And then his mom died.
There was a house fire and he was a mama's boy.
There was a house fire.
I know, and he was all scared about it or something. It was like he had like some sort of psychological trauma. I should stop drinking during the show.
I don't advise that.
I should drink more during the show.
Yes, be like Mickey.
I don't have anything at all this episode.
Why?
Because I'm high on mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
They're on my pizza, so you know they've got me pretty hopped up.
Right. As long as you got something going on.
Yep, he's a pretty fun guy.
Yeah, so Mickey, screen Natural Law for us this week. Let us know how that works out. Be sure to email Scott so he watches the right episode this time.
Please.
Okay, fine.
Because otherwise, I'm just going to have to watch all the episode of Voyager all throughout the week to make sure I hit the one we're actually going to watch.
No, you just have to watch all the Chakotay episodes.
Oh, God, no. I would not survive that. I would not live through that.
Coming up next is Chakotay Month.
Oh, no.
Starting with Chakotay befriends a dinosaur.
Get on the floor and close the door.
Chakotay befriends a dinosaur.
Yeah, that felt good.
Something has to this month.
Oh, man.